Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. This episode was brought to you by Just Strong Clothing. Just Strong Clothing is a lifestyle brand for strong women. Whether you are an experienced lifter, a new starter, or have simply overcome great adversaries in your life, the Just Strong community is here to make sure you never give up. With t-shirts and crop tops, hoodies, vests, leggings, shorts, and bottoms, just like the squat, the clothing is a symbol of standing back up, fighting against any resistance life throws at you, and becoming stronger. And if you'd like a 10% off discount, head on over to the checkout and use the code DAVFAUST10 for 10% off your purchase. Be strong, and let's get into the show. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. And this week is conversation that I definitely can relate to. I have Valerie Green here today, and she is a full-time relationship coach who helps women attract, reignite, and sustain lasting love. Valerie, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
Absolutely. So let's just take it back to where it all began. What really inspired you to go on this mission of helping other women find the love of their lives?
Oh my God. I mean, I've always just been super empathic. And I was raised in a household where my parents were very loving and supportive, but they weren't really that into feeling their emotions. My dad had probably what's referred to now as Asperger's, although he didn't know it at the time. So I always felt really emotionally disconnected as a kid, and I didn't know why. It wasn't really until I met my ex-husband and he showed me what empathy was that I got it. I was like, oh my God, like I finally felt seen and heard and validated, and something magical opened up inside me. Like it opened up my whole inner world. And at that point, I realized that this was the most important thing to me, was to have this deep emotional connection with somebody. And it's what made me fall in love with him. And it's at that point when I realized, like, because this is the most important thing in the world to me, I want to help everyone have that. And I started doing specifically relationship coaching around that time. I mean, that was about 10 years ago.
Wow. So then you said you were with your ex-husband at the time?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's really my journey of overcoming adversity.
Oh, wow. Well, go ahead and reflect on that, because I think that's so interesting. Like, was it kind of while you were coaching other women, you realized that you also sort of needed to figure things out on your end as well?
Yeah. I mean, I've been coaching since 2005. I started out doing health coaching, and it quickly became apparent to me that people came to me because they had issues with their emotions. Like they weren't doing healthy behaviors because they had intimacy issues with their partners or because they were doing emotional eating. And that was like always the people that were drawn to me. So when I actually met my ex-husband and I got empathy, because like I was taught just by parents and coaches that I'd listened to just like overcome your stuff. Like if you have a feeling, then suppress that feeling and just like go for your goal. It's a very masculine paradigm. And, you know, like obviously we all have masculine feminine energy, which is what I teach about. But when I first was able to really receive and give empathy, it just opened up a whole new world for me. And I started studying a lot of emotional healing modalities just to heal myself. And it really worked at my clients at the time. So I studied modalities like nonviolent communication and interrelationship focusing and internal family systems. And I was really using that with my clients in order to help them to overcome the pain and open their hearts and to be able to identify their emotional needs underneath whatever they were feeling and how to get their needs met in a healthy way. And actually, my ex-husband and I had a little bit of a coaching practice together where we worked with couples and we were super emotionally connected. But then something happened, like happens in all relationships. And it's kind of a complicated story, but basically it was an unsolvable issue that we came up against. And it sort of brought up to the surface all the incompatibilities that we had. And so every training that I had to that point really didn't prepare me for what happened when our connection just fell apart. And both of us felt the most intense array of emotions that we had ever felt, like anger, jealousy, betrayal, abandonment, rejection, like you name it. It was just like all of this stuff came up for both of us. And we were kind of like thrown into the deep end of the ocean without a life raft. Like we started fighting and we had all these tools, but it was like, you know, when you're really triggered, it's hard to use the tools. You just kind of like see red in front of you. And like, we would just kind of like wake up and start arguing. And then that would kind of color the rest of the day. And you know how that feeling that you have when you've just had a fight with your significant other, and it kind of feels like a sinking weight in your stomach that you carry around with you all day. And so like, we went through like days and days like that.
Yeah. And I'm actually just reading over what you had written to me. And it said that you, as part of your healing, you would create time each day to fully feel your feelings and really analyze them. And if you wanted to feel connected to him, you would hold that desire without being attached to what the relationship looked like. You just wanted to pursue that feeling of connection.
Exactly. I mean, it really took me making time every day to use the practices that I had learned on myself, which totally brought it deeper for me. So like, I needed to make like at least 30 minutes a day for me to practice this practice of inner relationship, focusing on myself, which is basically like feeling the feelings in my body as a sensation in my body and discovering what was really going on underneath. Was there something that needed to be healed inside of me and to do that healing work? Or was it some emotional need that wasn't getting met, and how could I meet it myself? And then how could I ask that of him in an open-hearted way? And if I was judging him, like how am I judging that part inside myself? Like, it was really, really deep work. I have to admit that like there were times when we would kind of argue in the living room a lot. And so we would start arguing and then I would be like, okay, it's time to take a time out. And I hung a sheet of feelings and needs on our living room wall. So it was kind of funny. And he used to make fun of me, of course, but like, I mean, he's a really loving person and that's how we transitioned our marriage into a really connected friendship. But it was only because we did this work that we were able to do that, like that we were able to salvage the friendship. Because instead of getting to the point where we were just triggering each other, when we got triggered, I would take a time out and I would go and look at the sheet of feelings and needs on my wall. And I would like take time out and meditate and do my practices until I felt like I was centered again. And then I would come back and start the conversation again. And we would actually get to a deeper place. Because then even if he was triggered, I would be able to empathize with him.
Yes. Like, and you know, I totally respect that you have those emotions written on your wall, because I mean, my entire apartment is covered in affirmations, and I still live alone, but it's one of those things where people don't realize that emotional healing really does take work. You can't just listen to Oprah's podcast once or read one book. You actually have to implement and do exercises and put the work into the feelings that you want to overcome. So I am totally on board with you writing emotions and affirmations all over the place.
Totally. And it's like, even if he made fun of me, like he did it in a really connected, playful way, just because he noticed that when I came back, I was actually way more present and able to listen to him. And like one of the hardest things for me to be with was his feeling of inadequacy, because I have my own feeling of inadequacy. And so I couldn't be with it in him. I would just be like, no, you're not. You're good enough. And why can't you believe it? And I don't want to be with you if you can't be. And it was like, I couldn't, like, you're the man, you know, like, yeah. But then he felt judged. And so it was like, every time I felt that, it was like, then I had to just like be with my own feeling of inadequacy and like, oh, that means I'm suppressing and judging that inside myself. And like, so I had to really learn how to sit with the feelings of, because any, and this is what I've found, is that like, if you're actually able to be present with your biggest fear or biggest sense of inadequacy, if you really are able to be present with that part of yourself and bring unconditional loving presence to that part of you, then it's possible to heal it. And I would do this practice with myself. And I would also we also worked with other relationship coaches and therapists that helped to guide us deeper into this sense of healing ourselves. Like, we worked with therapists, just the two of us, and then we worked with coaches individually. And like, my coach was guiding me into feeling, being able to really hold space for my own feelings and my own limiting beliefs. And so instead of denying them, I would like sit with that feeling of inadequacy and really let it share. I'm going to say her, because it's like all about doing the inner child work and the inner parts work. But like, she would share her story, and like, I would listen to her and hear her, and just like treat that part of me like it was a little kid, and really be with my inner child in the way that she needed to have me empathize with her. And then paradoxically, like, once I really learned how to do that, then I felt the truth that I am enough. Like, and it wasn't just an intellectual understanding. It was actually this deep felt sense of it. And then I could be with his feeling of inadequacy because it didn't trigger me anymore. So, yeah. You know, it's just like, I think that that's the biggest lesson I learned, is that it's kind of a paradox, because obviously we did, because he's my ex-husband, although he wrote an endorsement on my website on the about page. And like, in it, I say that a lot of times I refer to him as my husband, because when I say my ex, like, it sort of implies that we're not still close. And I do really feel like he always, when I first met him, he felt like he was family. Like, I still feel like, I don't exactly know, like, now he feels more like a brother to me. I mean, I'm an only child, so like, I don't know what that feels like. But if I was to have a brother, that would be how it feels between me and him now. Because like, it's a paradox, because we were like able to heal together, but then that doesn't necessarily mean that we wanted the same thing. Ultimately, we decided we wanted different lifestyles, and we wanted different visions for like what we wanted our lives to look like, which is why we didn't stay together. But like, if we'd broken up out of anger, then we would have taken that into the next relationship.
Definitely. And that just demonstrates how much the both of you have grown, because you can be best friends and you can be supportive of the other relationships that have come into your lives without feeling any sort of bitterness or anything like that. You're just recognizing this partnership did not work out on a romantic level, but that doesn't mean that we can't still love each other in some way. So I have a lot of respect for that. I really do.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I don't know if we're like best friends, but we still are pretty close, and we still do talk on the phone from time to time, and we're still able to like give each other emotional support, like, you know, like a girlfriend would. he kind of feels to me, I mean, like, I don't know, he would hate if I said that, because he doesn't feel like a girl, but like, you know, we have that friendship. And it's funny, because my partner now, I've been with my current partner now for 4 years, and like, he is still close with his ex-fiance. And so I think that's really interesting too, because it's like, I can totally, and he reassured me when he first started dating that like, he has totally no romantic attraction for her anymore. She's even with another guy now. And I actually coached my ex-husband with his relationship with the girlfriend that he had after me. and I know that not everyone's capable of doing that. I don't think that everyone should do that. But I just think it's really interesting, because I feel like, because I was able to really get that inner clarity that we weren't meant to be romantic partners, I stopped feeling romantically attracted to him. And then a friendship could really happen. And I feel like when a friendship can happen, it's usually because one person is more abusive, or they're not willing to do the healing work, or they weren't both on the same page of breaking up, which happens in most breakups. Like, one person wants it and the other one doesn't. And then it's usually not possible to be friends, because one person still has the romantic attraction. And I'm not saying that I think people should still be friends. I just think it's a case by case basis. But when I met my current partner and he told me he had no romantic attraction for his ex anymore, like, I totally got it, because like, I feel the same way.
Right. Yes. And I can imagine that you are able to translate all of your experiences and what you've gone through with your clients as well. I mean, it's one thing to have training and have certifications, but to actually experience loving someone and then moving on and learning to love someone else even more deeply. I'm sure that your clients, the way that you guide your clients toward their own happiness can be reflective of that sort of path as well.
Exactly. I mean, when I was going through the divorce, I wasn't seeing clients at that time just because I was dealing with too much of my own emotions. But when I came out of the other side of it, and that was in 2013, so I guess that's 6 years ago, I noticed like I just started working with couples and I was able to take them so much deeper than I could before because there would be nothing that I couldn't handle. Like whatever they would bring to me, I'd be like, okay, you know, I can really hold space for this. And I really had this unique gift of being able to hold both sides of the story and help them to really see and validate each other's point of view and help them to feel their emotions on a much deeper level and be vulnerable with each other because that was what I had gotten to. And then, of course, I did additional training. Like I studied emotionally focused therapy and I trained with I did John Gottman's training and I mentor with an Imago therapist. Even though I'm a coach, I mean, I think that one of the reasons I mentor with a therapist is that I want to see the line between coaching and therapy. And obviously I don't claim to heal people's dysfunction in their life, but like when I really hold space for people's emotions and like where their pattern started in childhood so that like they can have an understanding of what each other's triggers are and then help to meet the needs that weren't met by their parents in childhood and they're able to feel that secure emotional connection, it's huge. Then that's really what makes a secure partnership. And so yeah.
that's fantastic. And this question just kind of spurred from my own curiosity because I'm a single woman in New York City and I'm just wondering, do you coach a lot of single women and do you ever notice a pattern? We're just going to air my own little therapy right
sure,
here.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice a pattern of women in the city being stuck in masculine energy? Like I know for me, you know, I have my own place. I'm completely independent. I hustle. And that's such a masculine force that
totally.
Perhaps something that blocks someone like me from attracting a masculine partner because they just witness my own masculinity and think that I've got it under control. Whereas I need to allow that person to come in and trust my feminine energy as well. Does that sort of make sense?
Totally. Yes. And I actually do coach a lot of women about how to be more feminine. And a lot of people think that feminine energy is about passivity or subservience. And it's nothing like that. It's really just about learning how to receive and feel your feelings in your body and like lean back and let the guy do things for you. And like, let him feel like he's leading, you know, not have to like compete with him for who's taking leadership. And, you know, it's, which doesn't mean that we're blindly following. Like I look at it like a partner dance, you know, there's a leader and follower. I think partner dance is really great training for how to be feminine. You know, if you're the follower.
And it's so funny because my mind is going back to this one time I went swing dancing in college and my male partners kept telling me, stop trying to lead. And I was like, I just want to lead. Like, you know, that's so funny that you use that analogy because that was immediately what my mind went to. So what is your outlook for the future? Like, what are you currently working on? Do you have any other big projects coming up?
Yeah, well, I do have my own podcast and it's called Soul Shaking Love. And I interview both relationship experts, but also mind, body, spirit experts, because as we know, our relationship with ourselves really determines the quality of our relationship with someone else. So I love that I can use that as a platform to just highlight other experts to guide my community on how to have better relationships with themselves and others. And I also recently wrote a book, and it's actually for single women.
I'm going to buy it. So,
yeah, I mean, I really like that was the amazing thing is that after I really healed because I feel like what happened with my ex-husband is that I really healed my own blocks to unconditional love. It was like really, like, I feel like I can love him unconditionally for whatever he brought, even if I had to let go of the dream of what we were creating together and just recognize that, you know, we're both looking for different things. But I really feel like now I know how to open my heart to anything. And so when I met the next partner that I had after that, like I said, we met about 4 years ago, it was like, he was so self-aware and very masculine, but like also emotionally available. And he would just tell me exactly what was going on. If he's like, oh, you're being in your masculine energy, like you have to let me lead. But like, then I would just know exactly what to do because I had all the right skills. But like, if I was, for example, making him wrong or whatever, like by the way I was sharing my feelings, he would just be like, I feel made wrong. Like, say that a different way. So he was just like so good at teaching me like everything that I was teaching to my clients. He was just like affirming it, like, this is how men are. And so I just started taking notes. And after I would meet with clients, I always take really detailed notes and send them to them. And I would get all these case studies. And so I just started writing this book, and it turned into a 234-page book. And I published it in October, and it's called The Commitment Roadmap. And so it's for women, mostly actually exactly what you're talking about, for women that are in their masculine energy. Like, what does it really mean to get into your feminine? What does it really mean to let a man lead, but you're still sharing your desires and your preferences and what a man need in order to want to be the ones that like make the plans and take you out on dates and take care of all the logistical details. Like, what do they want from a woman in return? And like, is that like how to be that in a way that's authentic for you, in a way to inspire him to the kind of relationship that you want? So yeah, I just kind of like, it got written. I felt like it got written just through my experiences, both with my current partner, but then also the clients that I taught. Like the clients that I coached, I would get their stories and use their examples. And I just wound up, like, I didn't even really mean to write a book. It just sort of came through me.
That's amazing. Well, obviously, as soon as I finish this podcast, I'm going to go find it on Amazon. Because clearly, it's something that I can benefit from. So I guess just for, you know, obviously, you take on clients and you work with them on a very deep personal level. But for anyone who's like me, who's listening to this and is thinking, I've been single for 3 million years, and I'm ready to put myself out there, what is just like one little tip, nugget of inspiration, anything that you can give them today?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of factors in terms of finding a guy. But the thing is, if you want to be the feminine partner, like, I think a lot of women, especially in New York City, are caught in their masculine energy, because that is what New York City is about. It's about like getting stuff done and going for your goals, and everyone's so busy. And so I think the most important thing is to be able to shift into your feminine energy, because in your feminine energy and you're going out in the world and meeting men, they can feel that, and then they're more likely to actually approach you. So like, when I talk to women that say they're not meeting quality men, there's really two things that I talk about with them. One is shifting into your feminine energy. And so that's literally just like taking time to like do something that feels pleasurable before you go out. You know, just like getting yourself in that pleasurable space, whether it's dancing or yoga, taking a bath, using essential oils, like whatever it is. And so many women put effort into their appearance, and obviously that's important, right? But like, how you're feeling on the inside, like whether you feel like pleasurable on the inside, is so important. Cause like, if you're walking out in the world and all you need to do is like make eye contact and smile at men, and if he's a masculine, available man, then he likes you, he'll approach you. But so many women are just so in their masculine mode that they don't take time to like smell the roses, so to speak. And then they walk right past guys that could be available, because if the guy is going to be the pursuer, he also needs to feel that signal from you that you're available, especially in today's world with the Me Too movement, and men don't want to feel like they're the aggressors and they don't want to be rejected. So it's like, we have to actually give that nonverbal signal to the guy that we're available to be approached. So it's like, I think that's the advice that I wind up giving to a lot of my clients when they're like, I'm not meeting guys. But then the second thing is like, where are you going to meet guys? Because I think that, well, obviously going to bars and whatnot worked when we were in our early 20s, but it's important to go places where guys are likely to be that have shared values. And right. I think we've kind of like lost the art of social networking I think online dating is great, and I coach a lot of my clients in online dating, but like you're essentially meeting strangers then. I mean, I know there's apps like Coffee Meets Bagel where they connect you with friends of friends, you know, which I think is kind of an extension of social networking, but like having the technology do it for you. But it's like we tend to have friends that share our values, and if we don't, then it's important to go to places with people that have shared values and make friends with them. But it's like it's really important to ask yourself, I mean, in my free ebook that I'm happy to share the link to, called The Magnetic Dating Formula, I give a sheet of values and some questions to ask to identify your core values. And then I ask, well, like, where are men that share these values? Where are they likely to hang out? My top values are like personal growth, authenticity, and empathy, and some kind of spiritual path. And so it's like, where am I likely to meet a guy like that? Like, I'm probably not going to meet him online. I could. I mean, there are guys like that online, but it's like you have to sort through everyone else in order to get to that. But like, if I go to a meetup group that's about those things, then I'm more likely to meet a guy there. Or like, if I go to a friend's party who's really into that, she's likely to invite people that share my values. And so it's really just about like being, especially in New York City, I think it's about being in places with other people that share your values. But when you're there, being in your feminine energy so that you're likely to attract a masculine guy who's going to want to pursue you, because he won't pursue you unless your energy is actually open. So I guess that's the advice that I usually give right off the bat.
I love that. And it's so much to consider and so much to take in. And oh gosh, this is great. So I always ask my guess what their personal life motto is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really easy for me because I just love that Rumi quote that your task is not to seek love, it's to seek and find all the barriers that you've built up against it.
Boom. I love that. it's very true. Like love is all around you. It's just whether or not you're looking for it in the right ways, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And whether, because it's like, I think that we all have fears and insecurities and places that we've protected our heart. And those are really legitimate and valid so that we don't get hurt. But it's important to recognize that if you don't love, you'll never get hurt, but then never have love. So it's like one of the agreements that my partner and I made actually when we first met, my current partner, is that he was just like, because he wasn't actually, and this is another cool story, because like so many women are like, guys aren't available for a relationship, and what do I do? And it's like, when I met him, he said he wasn't available for a relationship, and I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever, I'll just spend time with you then. But then just by like me being myself, it like made him change his mind.
Yeah.
But so it was one of the things he said in the beginning, like, well, I'm scared of hurting you. And I'm just like, well, okay, but like, if we're in a relationship, we're going to hurt each other. I mean, that's just like what happens. The question is, how are you going to respond to me when I'm hurt? Like, are you just going to be like, oh, that's your problem? Or like, when I say I'm hurt, are you going to actually be like, oh my God, what's going on inside of you? Let me hold space for you. Like, because if you're going to do that, then I don't mind being hurt, you know? And like, it's funny because literally right before this interview, I did another YouTube video about how to not give your heart away to a man that hasn't earned it. And I think that's really important in this equation because it's really about like how to be able to hold our own vulnerability and our own self-love and then not have expectations of somebody in the beginning of a relationship that they'll do something that they haven't committed to. So that's all about what I talk about in my book too.
Oh my gosh, so many golden nuggets today. My mind has so many different like thought bubbles popping up all at once. This is incredible. So you mentioned your ebook, and if anyone else is as fascinated as I am, where can people connect with you either on your website or your social media handles? Where can people stalk you?
Yes, definitely. I would say that the best way to get in touch with me is through my website, which is coachvaleriegreen.com. So that's CoachValerie and green with an E at the end, greene.com. And I do have two free ebooks, and inside the free ebooks, I talk about the paid one, the 232 page one. So my free ebooks, I have one for single women and one for women in a relationship. I work with men too, but I just find that like I usually market to women and then I also get men, but you know, you have to choose a niche. But the book for single women is that one that I talked about before, which is The Magnetic Dating Formula. And I share all about like how to meet the right man and then how to have the first few dates be successful. And so that's at coachvaleriegreen.com/single, S-I-N-G-L-E. And then the book that is for women in relationship, that's all about how to share your feelings with a man in order to draw him closer rather than push him away. Because there's a specific formula that I've found to be effective. Things that need to be in place in order for a man to want to listen to your feelings. And of course, we could do a whole nother interview on that. That's called Manifest, Lasting Love. And that is at coachvaleriegreen.com/e-guide. So that's E-G-U-I-D-E.
Fabulous. And of course, you have your podcast, Soul Shaking Love, as well. So hopefully everyone that has enjoyed this episode will head on over to your show as well and hit subscribe and give you a loyal listener there as well. Mm-hmm. Valerie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I loved this conversation. It lit up and it inspired me. And I know that it probably did the same for my audience as well. So thanks again so much for your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Fabulous.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.